is ESPN 97.5, brought to you by Zadda Jewelers, KFNC, and 97.9 HD2, Mont Bellevue, Houston.
Houston standing by, over.
Jeremy and Joe starts now
on ESPN 97.5 and 97.9 HD2.
Live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Jeremy Branham and Joe George.
Jeremy and Joe. Brian's around here too. Brian is here. Good to have you, Brian. How's everybody doing? Everybody good?
Yeah, doing great. How are you, man?
I'm great.
Yeah?
Always good. Yeah. Always good. Some days better than others. Other days better than others. Always good. So there's a lot of talk about, you know, the Texans, right? Like, are the Texans going to do this? Are the Texans going to do that? CJ Stroud. People are unhappy with CJ Stroud, Joe. I don't know if you've picked up on that.
A little bit.
Yeah, they're not too pleased with CJ Stroud. Here was we got lots to talk to today. It's a Thursday. I'm not working tomorrow because of this the weather that's coming up. I'm a little intimidated by it, so I'm not going to work tomorrow because I'm intimidated by the weather.
Mm-hmm.
So awesome. You know, yep. We're going to do a bunch of our Friday stuff today. Bad Take Boulevard, The Fix, Mailbag Monday on a Thursday. We'll do all that. Michael Connor is going to be in with you tomorrow on 713-780-ESPN. This is kind of like a Friday show on a Thursday for us, which is great, which is awesome, which is the very best. But I was waiting around last night on something, and I was browsing through Twitter, and this popped up on my timeline, Joe. It was Fitzmagic, Ryan Fitzpatrick, who I think he's very smart. I think he's a smart. He went to an Ivy League.
He did.
He's a smart guy. He was one of the few people in the NFL that felt that the Houston Texans were going to come from behind after an 0-3 start to the season and make the playoffs. He turned out to be right on that. I have to give him credit for that, you know?
Maybe he was, like, the only one, it felt like, Jeremy.
He's the only one.
Like, it felt like everyone thought he was a crazy person when he said it.
Right.
But he said it, he was right. You were right. And he went to Harvard. Smart
he
man.
Went to Harvard. Smart Very man. Smart guy. We know all about him. He's one of the, you know, he's a legend here, I think. Could you call him a legend here?
No. I feel like his legendary moments happened elsewhere.
Okay.
Like his Bills era was more legendary.
Yeah, like taking off the shirt and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was up there. But here was Ryan Fitzpatrick. He does a podcast with that big offensive lineman, Andrew Whitworth. And he brings up a lot of interesting points about C.J. Stroud, the Houston Texans, contracts, and stuff like that.
If you're C.J. Stroud's agent, you're going in there and saying, look, all the other big-time quarterbacks, they got paid after their third year, and we want $60 million a year. I just think that the people in that building that are around him every day, C.J. Stroud, they're the ones that are going to have to make a decision on this guy. Is this guy we want leading our building? Who knows what C.J. Stroud does? I mean, if they don't give him the contract, is he going to sit and wait and say, guys, I'm not showing up until you pay me? Because that's probably the advice that his agent is going to give him. And so you look at their year overall, Davis Mills steps in, does a great job, placeholder for C.J. when he was out with a concussion for those weeks. Did it feel like it was a huge drop-off when Davis Mills was in?
No.
I just think that this is one to keep an eye on because I think it could get ugly this offseason. But if you have hesitations about CJ being the face of your franchise, this is me not knowing anything. I think there's a chance maybe you trade him this offseason.
Mm.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Look, this is like a conversation we were having like in the middle of the year, start of the year, really all year up until the playoffs, whenever he – didn't have a very good postseason, right? But we were having this conversation, like extension talks. What happens if he holds out? His agent's DJ is a David Mulligetta. So we have had this conversation. We just thought that it was going to be silenced based on his playoff performance. But what if Mulligetta feels differently? What if Mulligetta's like, yeah, playoff performance wasn't very good, but he is still a young quarterback that has had success in the league. He has the most postseason success of any quarterback in Houston Texan history. Is it still possible, despite a bad postseason, that Mulligetta forces the Texans' hands?
I think it is. I would imagine an agent's going to ask no matter what, right? Like, because the worst thing that can happen is they say no. And then you take it from there. Is there a negotiation? Is it just it's a flat no until – you know, after the fourth year, and we're going to reconvene next season. But like, I think they are going to ask for $455 million. Like, I don't think I know it's a $5 million difference. I think they're intelligent enough to know, like, don't ask for Joe Burrow money. But is he going to ask for an extra quarter of a million more than Tua or Trevor Lawrence got? Yeah, I think they're going to ask for that this offseason.
55?
Yeah.
So you still think they're going to ask?
Why not? Why wouldn't you ask? Right?
Okay. 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 All right. So what do you think the chances are that Mulligan is like, Casario, we want to get paid now?
I think pretty high. I'd say like 90%.
Okay. What are the odds that the Houston Texans play hardball and they're like, no, not yet?
I'm assuming like 70%.
Wow. Okay. And then what do you think the response is when the Texans say, nah, not yet? What is the response going to be from Stroud's camp?
Just, I don't, that's a hard, I think that's the hard part of this that we don't know the answer to. Because I think a smart quarterback and team, and CJ Stroud's team, would say the reason why he didn't get paid is because he has not progressed into other areas, and missing training camp or OTAs would be a mistake. But if they want to play hardball and they want to get paid now, that's what they probably view as the best chance to get paid, is to not show up in the offseason. I hope it doesn't come to that, but I think Fitzpatrick lays out like a very like likely scenario here.
Yeah.
That they ask to get paid, the Texans say no, and then CJ Stroud's not at camp.
See, I think we're prisoners of the moment a bit in the whole, like, you know, current value of CJ Stroud. If we take the collective body, look, even Nick Casario talked about the collective body of work of CJ Stroud yesterday. He talked about, you know, he's been very good. He brought up the Elway stat that he's like won as many games in his first 3 years of any quarterback in NFL history. I think he tied with Elway, or did he pass Elway? I can't remember.
He passed Elway.
Okay, we passed Elway. So he brought that up. So, like, Mulligetta has some points, right? The Texans have counterpoints. Well, did you see the postseason? And I would argue that that would, you know, trump all of David Mulligetta's points. But agents aren't always reasonable. Agents aren't always like, that's a great idea. We're not going to ask for money. When does an agent do that? Never. So I do think that even despite a terrible, historically bad postseason in his last two games, and the city's not happy with C.J. Stroud, as we all know, I still think there's a very good chance that like they have contract talks. That doesn't mean extension, but I think it's a really good chance they have contract talks. In fact, I can almost guarantee you they have contract talks because they also have the fifth-year option and all of that. The question becomes, what do the Texans respond with when Mulligetta is like, this is the contract we want? Are they willing to wait a year? Both parties. Because the Texans would love to wait a year, right? But is Mulligetta going to want to wait a year? Mulligetta is going to want to get his clients paid as soon as possible. Mm-hmm. So I think that there is some negotiation drama to be had here. I don't think it's as simple as, well, the Texans want to wait. Of course they do. The agents don't want to wait, though, so I do think that there's something in play here. Now, the likelihood that Stroud gets traded, like, you know, Fitzpatrick said to you know, it's one that he's watching. I would still put it like at less than 3%, you know? Like, I don't think it's realistic at all. I would have it at less than 3%. Where do you have it at?
I was going to say I got mine about like 10%.
Oh, wow, it's higher than me.
Just because, I think, like, if you are a believer in that Davis Mills can do the same thing as Siege, like maybe you're open to it, and then maybe there's going to be some unhappy quarterbacks in the market this offseason to where like it could lead to a Stroud trade. It does feel like that there are situations to watch in Philadelphia, Baltimore, and Cincinnati where like there could be a big market, you know, quarterback, a big ticket item that could be available where like, you have to pursue it, and maybe CJ, you know, the Texans want to make a move and CJ wants to leave if he's not going to get paid here. And maybe those teams are interested. So I think like 10% is fair. I think that means it's highly unlikely. To me, it's just the end result is my gut tells me is he doesn't get paid. He also doesn't show up to camp on time and he just shows up late.
So you think he's going to hold out for part of camp?
Yeah. I mean, maybe not camp, but like the mandatory stuff before that, like the mandatory OTAs. So maybe for like actual for training camp, he's there, but some of the other stuff, he's not.
Okay.
Because like if you're going to negotiate and you're not getting what you want and the Texans, you know, are playing hardball, I don't know what the other counter is from an NFL player. You know, we sometimes we see the hold in recently which is becoming more common. But those are typically guys that are older and are due for contract extensions that where they're at camp, but they're not participating. I don't think we'd see that. I just think he wouldn't be there if it does not go the way he wants.
Okay. Yeah, I don't agree with 10%. I think it's closer to 3%. But I think that Mulligetta is going to want to get something done. Like even though he had a bad postseason, I think that David Mulligetta is going to want to get something done. And I think it's worth the conversation. Like it's worth having this because it might come up. Like there's a really real chance that this is something that we have to discuss this offseason.
100%. And who knows how much information we'll get during the process. But to your point, like when the fifth-year option comes up and they make that decision, you know, we mentioned this with Will Anderson earlier in the week. It's very likely Will Anderson doesn't even get the fifth-year option picked up because the contract just gets done. And if the Texans handle business that way with Will Anderson, David Mulligetta and C.J. Stroud are going to want their business handled the exact same way. Even though the performance is nowhere near the same from these two players, they still value it as we want to get paid. And the thing that works in their favor, I would say, is look at some of the other quarterbacks that have got paid. No one really in the NFL, honestly, thought Tua was deserving of the contract he got. And I know he had another concussion after, but he had major concussion concerns, major play concerns, but the Dolphins just paid him. Trevor Lawrence was not deserving of that contract when he got it, but he just got it. And like, I feel like unless you're at the level of, like Bryce Young's not going to get it, right? They've already made that clear. And I think Bryce Young is aware that it's not going to get cleared. That guy's also been benched in his career for Andy Dalton. So like, I think the scenarios are a little bit different here where David Mulligetta can be like, well, look at Trevor, look at Tua. Why can't my guy get paid?
Yeah. Brian, what do you think the percentage chances are?
Of him getting a new deal this offseason?
No, of it's just like them chatting.
Oh, of them chatting. I think Nick Caserio is always open to the conversation with a guy that's I know we're all down on Stroud right now because he had two historically bad playoff games, but CJ Stroud's obviously had a fair amount of success. So I think he's always open to the conversation. So I'll put it at 60% they have the conversation. And as far as getting done, I would say like 5%. But they'll have the conversation.
The real question is just like how ugly it gets.
I thought you were about to say how ugly he is.
No. But when the Texans counter, it's like when a player goes to arbitration.
Isn't that a question of will Mulligetta be reasonable? And I don't know. Have we seen that from an agent of his ilk?
Doesn't feel like it.
No.
I mean, he's done is pull power plays. Like, he gets big contracts, and when his guys are unhappy, they get moved. And it's been his trademark so far. He's done it 4 times. Very successfully. So, like, if he feels like he can do it again, but Deshaun Watson was a different player at the time than C.J. Stroud is right now. Jalen Ramsey both times was a better player than C.J. Stroud was. So, like, even then, like, he has to have some awareness, I would imagine, that, like, this isn't the same game that he's played before.
If you went just their peaks, though, would you have Stroud ahead of Watson? Like Stroud after his rookie year was his peak, right?
Yeah.
That was C.J. Stroud's peak. Was that higher than Deshaun Watson's peak as a Texan?
I don't think so.
I don't think so either. I think Watson had multiple seasons higher than what Stroud's had.
Okay. Like Deshaun never figured out the sack thing, where he was just getting sacked way too much and running backwards.
Played hero ball.
But like, I think if Deshaun like that version of Deshaun was C.J. Stroud this year, I think the Texans are playing the Super Bowl this year.
Wow. That's bold, Joe. That's spicy.
I don't think it is, to be honest with you.
Well, I don't. I was always kind of anti-Stroud because I kind of had the same thoughts about Stroud that I do, like Josh Allen and Lamar Jackson. I don't think he was super careful with the football.
Oh, you mean Watson?
Yeah, I meant Watson.
Okay.
Yeah, Watson to me had the same bugaboo that the Josh Allens and Lamar Jacksons of the world have. I don't think that he, mastered the simple. I mean, Caserio talked about it yesterday. Like, the number one thing that we tell all our quarterbacks is that you have to take care of the football. Watson had too many negative plays, like Watson turnovers, Watson the sacks, like you mentioned, a lot of sacks, record-breaking sacks. I thought Watson had too many negative plays. I don't think he was like the quarterback that you would need for this type of team or a Super Bowl winning quarterback because of the negative mistakes. He tried to hit home runs instead of, the easy.
And that's what Stroud used to be good at. He used to do the same thing once upon a time.
You said Schaub?
Stroud.
Then
he stopped.
Stroud.
He stopped doing the big plays.
Yeah, he was actually playing at a level that I was pretty pleased with towards the end of the year.
I agree.
It went away.
Was the end of the year was if he would have continued that? Let's say they lose still in the divisional round, but he doesn't have all the turnovers. Maybe he has like one or two in each game, so it's a much lower number. But he's playing at the level he was at the end of the year. Do you feel the same? You think you'd be feeling the same way you feel now about not wanting to give the extension? Or would you be more open to it?
I'd be more open to it, for sure.
Yeah.
For sure. Now, I would be a little uncomfortable, but I would be more open to it.
Because now it's like it's a hard no.
Yeah.
Like Nick Caserio has to say it a lot nicer than that. But I would just say, if I was Nick Caserio, I'd be like, no, man, we're not doing that.
The Junkies have some thoughts. What do you think the percentage chance Stroud gets traded? We'll talk about some of these free agents the Houston Texans have, Joe. They have some free agents. Which of these free agents do you want back? Which can you live without? Bad Take Boulevard coming up a little bit later. Mailbag Monday on a Thursday, maybe, if we get to it. And also The Fix. We give to you winners on The Fix. That's what we do. 713-780-ESPN, the HRMP listener line. You can watch on Twitch. They're mean there, so you got to be careful. You got to have thick skin.
A fat guy in his underwear, living in his mother's basement.
Thick skin or be fat, one of the two. Also on YouTube, ESPN Houston. You can follow along on TikTok, ESPN 975. You can follow along on Twitter, ESPN 975. Joe's at Joe George Radio on Twitter. Brian's at Sack by BMAC on Twitter. I'm at Jeremy Branham on Twitter. 713-780-3776. Jeremy and Joe off and running on a Thursday on ESPN 97.5 and 97.9 HD2. You can be off and running. That bank account can be off and running if you play on Underdog. Football playoffs, as you know, we're in the thick of the football postseason. We only have three more games left, though. So you got to get on it. You got to get on Underdog. It's the best place to get in on all the gridiron action, and you got to with only three games left. And they're throwing money at you. Profit boost, gimme plays, injury rescues. Love Underdog. You can make picks, win money right now in Texas. Get all those picks right, and you can win up to 5,000 times your cash. So easy playing on Underdog, too. You're going to love it. Just pick if you're – even the Twitchers can play on Underdog. That's how easy it is. Just pick if your favorite players or go higher or lower, a bunch of different stats, touchdowns, rushing yards, receptions. And we've been looking position by position over the last couple of days with each of these conference title games. We'll start in the NFC today. L.A. and Seattle. Puka Nacua, he's a freak, right? What do we like about Puka this week? The number for receiving yards is 88.5, higher or lower there. Receptions at 7.5, higher or lower there. 10.5 targets, what do you think? Jackson Smith and Jigba on the Seattle side, great player, breakout player this year. Hope you got him on your fantasy football team. But Jackson Smith and Jigba, 90.5 receiving yards for JSN this week, higher or lower? 6.5 receptions for Jackson Smith and Jigba. You like the higher or the lower there? I have confidence that you know what you're doing. And if you do know what you're doing, you need to get the Underdog app today. Use promo code KILLERB, K-I-L-L-E-R-B, to score $75 in bonus entries when you play your first $5. That's promo code KILLERB, Underdog. Make picks, win money.
Must be 18 or older and present in Texas. Terms apply. See assets.underdogfantasy.com/web/play and get terms underscore DFS underscore .html for details. Concerned with your play, call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit ncpgambling.org.
This is ESPN 97.5.
You're back with Jeremy and Joe, broadcasting live from inside the Huntington Bank Studios.
On ESPN 97.5 and 97.9 HD2.
We had White Boy Wednesday yesterday, and Brian's trying to get as far away from that as possible. 713-780-ESPN.
What are you trying to say about this music, Jeremy?
It's not, I wouldn't associate this with White Boy Wednesday.
I didn't pick it, but yeah, I would agree with your assessment.
Why are you trying to throw me under the bus like that?
Because it's fun to throw you under the bus.
But you agreed with me.
I do, but that doesn't mean I can't still throw you under the bus.
Rocky Caserio needs to sign a vet guard that's not washed. They call Breece Hall and Higbee, or Pitt's agents. I don't really need if they signed Breece Hall, am I going to be mad about it? No. Depending you know, the contract, but I doubt I would be mad at it. I don't think they have to go that direction, though. Like, I don't need a marquee name at my running back position. I'd be happy with Woody Marks, another mid-round rookie, and the best free agent that you can get, veteran free agent, on a one-year cheap deal, $5-7 million.
Yeah, I also think Breece Hall isn't on the field enough.
Fair.
Like, he gets hurt quite a bit for a running back, so I'm not sure he's the guy I want. Like, I think I like Kenneth Walker more. I feel like Seattle's going to have to keep him now. Or try to bring him back. But, like, I mean, even, like there's other options out there that you could go out and get, as you said, for very cheap, I think, to fill out your running back room next year. Javonte
Williams?
Yeah.
Well, I wouldn't mind Javonte. Like, I imagine that Dallas is interested in bringing him back, but Dallas lets running backs go like I let my trash go.
Yeah. They got a new one every year, it feels like.
Yeah, so, yeah, I could see him on a new team without a doubt. The whole reason CJ played poorly was because of money. The thing is, there won't be another chance like this. Okay, trade Stroud and anyone else they want for Josh Allen. Okay, fan fiction. Could CJ overtalk his agent and bet on himself using next year to improve a potential contract? Yeah, I mean, the agent's going to do whatever the player tells him to do. Now, I mean, how much is he really betting, though? Like, the demand, like, Mulligan is not going to settle for less than $55 million a year, right?
I would not think so.
Okay. So, like, that's going to be the demand. So, like, even if you're betting, like, and again, this would take the Texans willing to do business, which I'm not sure they're going to be willing to do business. But if they're asking for 55, how much are you really betting on yourself? Like, if you have a great year, okay, well, you make 60 the next year, you know?
Yeah.
It's only a $5 million difference. So, I don't think that there's a lot to gain there, actually.
No, I don't think so either. Like, and that's where it's potentially like maybe this season does like is a reality check for Mulugeta and Stroud. But like, you know, he's got was like $27 million waiting for him on that fifth year option. So like, he's gonna get paid eventually, and like, it's just, are you willing to? Like, I don't think he's gonna take like 35 now. That would stun me, honestly.
No, there's no chance.
Like, there's no logical reason for that, because even if you just say, we're not signing that, and the Texans get mad, eventually you get franchise tagged, and those tags are worth $47, $50 million by the time you get them anyways. So like, even like at some point, you're going to get paid if you play well, regardless of if it's now or if it's later. So it's really like the bet on himself is just like is just waiting it out, frankly.
Pay CJ his 60 with a bunch of incentives to earn it. Wouldn't agree to that. Pete, Javonte Williams, a solid back, but he did wear down in the last few games. He also hadn't been playing a ton. Good running backs help a lot. Yeah, I think you can find good running backs, though, without it being top of the market. Pick up fifth year and franchise tag six. But that like, whenever we talk about what we want to do with Stroud, we're not taking Stroud's side of, like, we're not taking his side into consideration.
Yep.
Like, it's very easy to say pick up the fifth-year option, let him play out year four, let him play out the fifth year, and then if he's playing well, you can franchise tag him the year after that. It's usually not that easy. Like, it's not that easy for a quarterback who is good. Now, we could argue the merits of C.J. Stroud is good. I promise you his agent thinks that he's good. His agent thinks that he's good. But it's not as easy as like, okay, yeah, let's just have him play out the contract, play out the fifth year. If he's playing good, franchise tag him. When do we hear that? Like, usually if a player's playing well, they're going to hold out.
Mm-hmm. No, so. Never. I mean, I don't think Cousins held out when he was in Washington and going through that scenario, but it's a little bit different there, right? Like, and he wasn't playing at the level that you ever thought Stroud could play to. And so, like, he just kind of would accept his franchise tag and move on. And actually, it seemed like there was a strategy there, because then he hit free agency and got the most guaranteed money by an NFL player ever when he hit free agency. You know, Dak Prescott, he didn't have to hold out. He threatened to, but then got paid before it happened. Like, typically, quarterbacks aren't in this situation. That's the other thing. Like, this is going to be kind of an anomaly in the NFL. Like, when's the last time this happened with a quarterback? I couldn't even tell you. Normally, they just get paid, or they get moved on from like Baker Mayfield and Sam Darnold. They just get dumped to the curb.
Yeah. And it usually hits the fan before the end of that fifth-year option, if they were first-rounders.
For sure.
Hits the fan before the whole franchise tag thing, too. So it's going to be, I mean, it's going to be fascinating. It's going to be interesting. How much do you think, if C.J. Stroud was a free agent this year, how much do you think he would make on the open market?
Oh, that's a good question. I mean, I feel like someone would take a risk and bet on him for, like, a big deal for short term.
Yeah, I do too.
So, like, 3-120? 3150?
Oh, I think it'd be 150.
Yeah, 3150?
Yeah, I think it'd be at least that.
Where, like, some of that third year is not fully guaranteed, so they can get out of it or restructure it.
Yeah,
at the time.
Like that. Yeah, I think so. I think it'd be something like that. What has BMAC ever sacked? Lunch. Can the Texans drop the bull cojones and wait CJ out until he proves it? If he sits, can we just release him after the contract? I mean, the Texans can absolutely just be like, no, we're not going to do it. And then the reaction from Stroud would be, we don't know. We don't know how he'd react to that. If Mulligetta's like, give us 55 or else, and the Texans are like, oh, well, or else, what is that or else?
That's a great question.
I think it's going to happen this offseason, because I do think Mulligetta is going to ask for 55.
Yeah.
And I think the Texans are going to say, oh, we good. And that's whenever the negotiations and the power plays really begin. What happens then? Does Stroud just say, okay, well, I'm going to play. Like, screw it. Like, you know, fifth-year option, I'm just going to play. I think that's what would happen, but you can never be so sure with Mulligetta.
No, and agents are impossible to predict. The only thing I feel like we can guarantee is he's not going to take a below-market deal that Texans fans are going to be happy with. Would it shock you would it surprise you if when they're told no, they were just like, okay, like we'll wait it out with you?
Like, no, it wouldn't surprise me.
Yeah, like I think it is possible Stroud shows up to camp and just plays next year and understands what happened at the end of the season and is understanding. And then the same as it goes the other way where, as we said earlier, like it wouldn't shock us if he holds out. Like the mid-market deal is the only thing that is 100% not going to happen this offseason.
I agree with you.
Do you think Stroud would take a 3150 from the Texans? Right now?
Yeah, I do. So when would the 3 years kick in?
Instead of the fifth year?
Okay. So you're buying out his fifth year rookie option. So you're giving him $50 million that year instead of his fifth year rookie option, which would be a lot more.
Yeah.
And then you get two additional years of 50.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it would be close.
Would you do that?
No.
Okay.
No, there's not enough gain there for the team. Because you're paying significantly more in the fifth year, right?
Yeah.
Like, I don't know what a fifth-year rookie option is. It's probably, what, 25, 30 maybe?
I think it's like 27, yeah.
Yeah, I remember it came up in the show the other day. So it's 25, let's go 27, like you said. So if you're giving them the $50 million and you're ripping up that fifth year, that's $23 million that you're out, right? That's the gap there. And then you're not really recouping that on the backside. Because if you played out the tag game, not that they would be willing, but if you played out the tag game, the tag's probably, what, 55?
I saw last year's quarterback was 47.
Okay, it's probably going to bump up a little bit. Let's go 50 for easy math. So, like, you're looking only at a savings of $5 million on that second and third year.
Yeah.
So you're almost doubling the salary on year one, and you're only getting $5 million in savings in year two and year three?
Yeah.
That's not team-friendly. I wouldn't do it.
And probably eventually, like, if CJ plays into that contract well, he's probably still upset with the franchise because he'll be saying, why didn't you just give me the six-year deal originally? Yep. Like, if he plays up to it.
It's gonna be interesting, man. Like this offseason, like it for a few days there, like after the blowout of the game, and it's still happening, obviously, because everybody's unhappy with him, and rightfully so. Historically bad playoff performances, not just one, two, set records in both of them: fumbles in game one, interceptions in the second half of game two. But there's still going to be contract talks this season. And to what extent, that's going to be what the offseason's all about. 713-780-ESPN. You know what else the offseason's about? These free agents for the Houston Texans. They have a number of unrestricted free agents. Which of these dudes do you want back? 713-780-ESPN, the HRNP listener line, Jeremy and Joe, ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 97.9 HD2.
Since 1976, D&M Leasing has been in business and helping people get into brand new and leased vehicles. When they opened their doors, their mission was simple: make getting a vehicle easier, smarter, and more affordable than buying it the old-fashioned way. 50 years later, that has not changed at all. And right now, you can get no payments for the next 60 days at dmautoleasing.com or by calling 713-290-1000. You can get lower payments. If you're stuck with negative equity, they'll help you get out of it. They will walk you through the entire process from start to finish, help you upgrade your vehicle. The average American wants to get a new vehicle every 3 years. And if you're stuck with those loan payments that are 6-7 years, you can't really do it. You are in no man's land with your vehicle, and leasing a vehicle is the way that you can change that car every 3 years. No payments for the next 60 days, and the people you should be doing it with are D&M Leasing. Check them out right now at dmautoleasing.com or call 713-290-1000 and tell them that ESPN 97.5 sent you by.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
We're taking a break.
Okay. That's cool.
Contact Tax Relief Helpers for details and restrictions.
Listening to Jeremy and Joe
on ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
Live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Jeremy Branham and Joe George.
What's the broad's name, Dawn?
Correct.
She sounds a little peppy today.
How'd you refer to her as?
Broad.
Are you trying to become Granado now?
Look at Brian trying to throw me under the bus back-to-back segments. You know what I like, Joe?
You
know what I like, Joe? Joe, I like a producer who has his teammates' backs.
Yeah.
That's what I like.
I like a host who doesn't say broad in 2026.
Bang, bang.
Is that a derogatory term?
It can be.
It's not a good one.
I like to apologize on my behalf. I'm sorry. I didn't know that was derogatory.
It's okay. You can say worse.
You have to dump out of it.
People are also kind of soft.
Google says yes, widely considered a derogatory, disrespectful, and old-fashioned slang term for a woman. You know, I'd like to apologize to all the women out there that I offended.
You almost said it again.
No, I didn't. What's up with the music?
That's a good question. It has faded out, and it keeps going. I don't know.
Somebody said, bro,
it's all
that's
the way
why
down. That's weird.
J-Bone is the Huntington Bank bad boy. There you go.
You've earned that name now.
I've earned it. All I had to do was to be derogatory towards women. This isn't how I wanted to get this reputation.
Start addressing women like it's the 1940s and he could become the bad boy.
I already apologized. Let's move on. Not that you guys talk much about baseball, but did you see the owners' poll about salary cap and the consensus is that they will demand it? What do you mean we don't talk baseball? We're easily the fourth or fifth best baseball show in this market. Easily. There's not a half dozen better baseball shows than us.
Jeremy, there's not like more than one better baseball show than us.
I'm going to go half dozen, though. You know, I don't like to toot my own horn.
I'm not even necessarily tooting our own horn. I'm bringing the other people down.
No, yeah, I can't think of one.
I don't like to be offensive to people.
Sure, but like certainly no one at the Highway to Hell.
Well, this is not what I was trying to do. I wasn't trying to be like, hey, everybody sucks baseball.
I mean, toot your horn.
We're tooting.
I'll put us safely in the top six
in
the city whenever it comes to baseball. It's not baseball season. Now, and it's also you're not going to talk a lot of like non-Astro baseball just because baseball and basketball are both very regional sports. NFL is more national, obviously. Yeah, I think the owners are going to ask about it. They'll demand it, but I think the players are going to demand that there's not one.
Mm-hmm.
And that is our impasse, and that's why we're in for a long, long time without baseball.
Yeah, it's unfortunate. It's very unfortunate, but that's where we're headed.
Yeah, that's where we're headed.
I would love to see them find a way to not do it, but like
we're about to talk less baseball after
I know because
go
like
into lockout.
Like there's been no baseball to talk. Like the only thing we'll be talking is lockout updates, which sucks.
My buddy Mike had a pretty funny idea though. He sent to me yesterday. He said whenever there is a lockout, he said y'all should get these scabs in to like try out. You remember the lockout in '94? Well, you probably don't.
Nope. I know it exists. I know what happened.
They had scab tryouts. So like the replacement players were called the scabs.
Mm-hmm.
So the Major League Baseball was full of scabs, replacement players. But like they would go try out and stuff. We should have them try out on the show. Like bring in these guys like, "Hey, are you going to be a scab?" And then they can come and like show us what they got and we can get like the track man to see like their, you know, fastball topping out at 77.
I'm down for that.
They got their vertical movement at 3 inches, you know?
We can do that.
Well, their exit velocity at 52.
Look, we're just going to be breaking down the Savannah Bananas all summer when there's no real baseball.
Yeah, I'm not a Savannah Banana guy. I'm really not. But no, we talk plenty of baseball when time is appropriate. Can I get a copy of BMAC's politically correct do's and don'ts? I've made BMAC woke. BMAC's woke in these beginning of these segments, these last couple of ones.
He is. He's coming at you. What you going to do next segment?
I don't know. It's more just annoy Jeremy. I don't really care if we're woke or not.
Brian woke to these little rejoins. Jeremy, Joe, and BMAC, you three compete in a contest of who can do the most combined push-ups and air squats. Who wins and rank the order? I'd win that.
Nope, I win that.
There's no chance.
Yeah. Jeremy would win that.
No, I would win that.
How are you? And what? What are you doing to win?
Push-ups and air squats.
How many push-ups can you do in one sitting?
I don't know, but I think I could do more than you.
Brian, how many did I do that one day?
It was like 35.
Yeah.
I think I can top that.
No, see. No, I put money on that.
In the break.
You're not here.
It doesn't matter. Brian's here as a witness.
I'm not doing the mid-show.
I did it the snap of a finger in the middle of the show.
He did. During
a commercial break.
I did a couple of these numbers, a couple of cross-arm, cross-stretches,
and then I pumped them out,
baby. We can do a head-to-head next week.
No.
Yes.
I've already done this.
I wasn't here for it, so I don't believe you.
And you call me a liar?
No, no. And you can't have time to get ready for this. This was an impromptu push-up. How many can you do? Right now, impromptu push-up. Next break, you got time. We'll see how many you can knock out.
35?
You got all big and bad and stuck your chest out.
I
can do more push-ups than Branham. Right, okay. Well, I did it in the same situation that you're talking about right now, and I did 38, I think it was. I think it was 38.
Well, you got to give me an accurate number so I know what to beat, and then we'll do it.
Well, just call it 35.
Pretty sure it was 38.
It's the low end.
No, I think it was 38.
We'll call it 38.
It might have been. It was definitely in the 30s.
Okay. Yeah, I think it was 38. So in this segment, because this is exactly the scenario I was in.
Okay.
We were talking about it, like, how many push-ups can you do? And I was like, I don't know. I think I could get to 20. I didn't know how many I could do. And then I think the adrenaline was running through me, you know, and I was able to pump out 38.
I'm a dog.
Legit push-ups, too. They weren't little, like, you know, on my knees.
Yeah, well,
they weren't,
no,
like,
duh.
Halfway down.
Were you about to say a broad push-up?
I wasn't about to say that, Brian, but you did. You're in trouble now.
Yeah, you said that, Brian. Not Jeremy. You're canceled now. Jeremy, I have more respect for you than that. I know you did real push-ups. I would expect you to do real ones.
Yeah.
I think I'm a believer, at least in that.
So if you don't do push-ups in commercial break, and Brian, you should probably video it and put it on the TikTok.
We're not TikTok. We're not TikTok.
Then you're soft.
You didn't do that.
I didn't put it on the – no. You're right. I didn't do a video of it. So you don't have to do a video of it, but you do have to pump it out.
Okay.
All right. We'll see what you can get. Brian, he's stuck his chest. I'm going to win that. I don't think you're going to do it. I don't think you're going to hit 38.
Okay.
How many air squats can you do?
I don't know. Actually.
I can do air squats for days, baby.
I mean, I actually just don't know a number I could do.
I used to do 10 air squats during every break.
Yeah, that was a dark time of the show.
I'm going to bring it back, though, because they say it's really good for you. It's like you can prevent like dementia and multiple sclerosis.
There was this guy that...
I don't know how, but what they say.
On the old network that would work the overnight shift, and he would bring in like weights. And,
it's a great idea.
Lift overnight.
It looks really like... dorky, but it's not a bad idea.
Well, it worked for him because there's no one in the building. It's like,
yeah, I mean,
the only person that knew would be the person that came in the next morning.
What a great way to like kill time, though. Like, if you have, you know, 15, 20 minutes between what you taught, what they do in flashes.
Yeah, it was like, no, it was like one of the producers. So he's running like taped shows.
Okay, so he's running, so he could actually do it during the show.
Yeah. So he was like, had like nothing to do for like 3 hours besides run a couple breaks, and that was it.
Yeah, I mean, imagine, like, that's a great way to, you know, spend your time.
It's way better than just sitting there.
Yeah.
I'm feeling a lot less confident about 38.
I don't think you're getting there, bro.
I'm still going to go for it, but
I don't think you're getting there.
Should we set an over-under?
I'm putting it at like 22.
See, I was going to go 19 and a half.
Yeah, I don't think you get to the 30s.
All right, we'll find out.
Are you doing it this break?
Yeah,
I'm going to win.
Maybe we should wait to a break that's...
we can add to it because it might take me 5 minutes.
Well, Brian, can you record this?
No, we
don't have to make it public. We don't have to make it public. But I need to see this.
I can video it
and send it to me.
I don't like this.
It won't be public, I promise. I give you my word.
No, I don't. I don't
trust
him
either.
That's messed up.
It's going to get put out there.
No, that's messed up. I take offense to that. If I give you my word, I'm not taking – I hang my hat on my word.
You have – like, if I make you mad one day
– No, I wouldn't.
You're just going to have this, like, ammunition.
How little do you think of me?
I think highly of you.
Clearly not.
I do, but like,
I'm giving you my word, and you're like, "Oh, I don't believe him." You don't think highly of me at all. I wouldn't if I give you my word. My word is I'm the locksmith with my word.
Okay, all right, Kamari.
I thought I was going Jabari.
Kamari's the better one you want to be.
Jabari's not nearly as
good. Kamari Lassiter actually plays good defense. No, I won't.
If I give you my word, I'm not going against my word.
Okay.
Yeah. So I just want to see for proof. And plus, I just want to see it for the, you know, maybe I describe it later.
See, I feel like that's still the same thing.
Yeah. Making it public?
You are a play-by-play man, Jeremy. You can describe things with way too good of descriptions.
All right, I won't describe it then. I'll give you my word on that as well.
All right. Shake hands.
Well, all that I'll comment on it is the amount that you did in maybe your form.
Okay.
That fair?
Fair.
Handshake?
Handshake.
All right.
Since you're not here.
Are we doing it this break?
Sure.
Better? I mean, he better. That's what I did. I did it immediately the next break.
Let me drink my white girl coffee.
PSA that'll bring us all down while Joe does push-ups. Oh,
those are really sad. It all goes fast as I can.
I hope that you ate your vitamins and said your prayers. What you going to do, brother, whenever you don't get to 38 push-ups?
See, I'm going to have to cancel you both now.
Bradomania is going to run all over you.
You just quoted a canceled person.
Nah, he's dead now. It's fine.
Yeah, I don't think quoting a canceled person gets you canceled.
He got uncanceled, though, late in his life.
Not really.
Not really.
No, not really, man.
They brought him back to do some cameos and stuff, didn't they?
Well, yeah,
they
but brought all the current wrestlers hated him.
Yeah, well, the guy who got like the most canceled from WWE, Vince McMahon, brought him back. If a canceled person brings back a canceled person, it doesn't make it okay.
It doesn't uncancel the person, yeah.
But once you died, does it uncancel you?
No. I don't think
like,
so.
It's kind of like prison time, though. Like, if you're in prison when you die, and you die, well, you're no longer in prison.
Yeah, but no, I think you're still canceled.
It doesn't change the act.
Because I don't think we...
Yeah, but canceling isn't the act.
Yeah, but we don't...
The act is what got you canceled.
No, but like, we don't
just
celebrate...
Like the act is what sends you to prison.
But like, we didn't celebrate Hogan in the way that we would have... If he hadn't been canceled.
Oh, I completely disagree. He was all over SportsCenter. They did the whole show about him. Now they also talked about the dark side of him.
Well, that's Joe's point. Like, we didn't celebrate in the same way we would have if he hadn't been canceled.
Yeah, because there was a lot of buts. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I feel like people who are canceled, they won't even like address it. Like, oh, he died, and then like move on.
No, because we still talk about like Michael Jackson and
all right, you're stalling. You're gonna get to the push.
No, I'm not. I'm not stalling.
All right,
you're the one that controls if we go to break or not.
Yeah, but I don't like to talk over you.
Fair.
I never do that. 713-780-ESPN, HRP listener line, 713. We're going to get to these undrafted free agents in a little bit. Unrestricted free agents that the Texans may or may not bring back. Do you want them back or not? We'll talk about that. Austin will give you an update on how many push-ups Joe can do on a whim. 713-780-3776, Jeremy and Joe, ESPN 97.5 and 97.9 HD2. Oh, Joe might be sore. We're coming back from break. He might need to go out to Two Creeks Crossing Resort after this so he can really rest and relax and, you know, get over some things. Maybe the pride a little bit too. But if you're looking to escape the rat race for the weekend, the hustle and bustle of the job, traffic, car accidents, dealing with the insurance, whatever the case may be that's causing you stress and anxiety, get out to Two Creeks Crossing Resort on Lake Livingston. Escape the city. Enjoy the relaxing, great outdoors. Book your stay, twocreekscrossingresort.com. Do it right now, and you can take advantage of the 40-20 discount. 40% off your stays, 20% off RV stays, but you got to book through before February. So take advantage. It actually goes through February. So book, take advantage of the 40-20 discount through February. Follow Two Creeks Crossing Resort on social media. They got giveaways. You may even win a free stay out there at Two Creeks Crossing Resort on Lake Livingston. And you're going to love your time out there. They got the open green spaces, wildlife, just Mother Nature's intended to be enjoyed. Some of the best fishing in Texas, too. The two creeks run alongside their property, the catch and release pond in the middle of the property. You're going to love it. And it's only 90 minutes from Houston. Turn us on in three. Head that way. You're there before we're halfway through. You can escape the city without traveling too far at Two Creeks Crossing Resort on Lake Livingston. You're there in an hour and a half. You'll be hiking their 92 acres in no time. If you like kayaking, they got that. They got pickleball courts out there for you. Hang out at Swampers, have a drink. And they're always taking care of their visitors. Looking at February here a little bit. Valentine's Day weekend, that sounds romantic. They have food trucks out there all the time. They got live music coming up in late February. Mardi Gras and gumbo cook-off. Oh, man. If that doesn't catch your attention, what will? Two Creeks Crossing Resort has every stay for your liking. They got glamping for you. They have the cabins, the treehouse. Pull up the RV. They have the perfect stay for everybody. So book that stay now. TwoCreeksCrossingResort.com. That's TwoCreeksCrossingResort.com.
ESPN 97.5.
This Saturday, your Texas A.
The This is Jeremy and Joe
on ESPN 97.5 and 97.9 HD2.
Live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Jeremy Branham and Joe George.
Joe, the push-up's complete?
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Guess
number, what was the number I set? 22?
I think, yeah, Joe said you said 22 and a half.
Yeah.
Was the line you said. I said a 19 and a half. We had competing numbers.
He sounds like he's a little out of breath.
A little bit.
Maybe a little bit.
Because he's a little out of breath, I don't know if I should be like, he's out of breath because he struggled and didn't get there. Or maybe he did more than I thought. He sounds
he'd be
a little
out of
proud,
breath
though.
Either way, right?
I'm not proud.
He's not proud. I'm going to say you're not proud because you didn't get to my number, but you beat the over-under. I'm going to say you did 24.
You're close. I got the 22.
Okay. Oh, you hit the number?
Yeah.
I hit the number. He did the 22nd, started the 23rd, and was like, nope. And
I was just like, in my mind, I was like, I'm not going to get to 38. This was stupid. I shouldn't have talked.
Yep.
And I just bailed.
Yeah, he was very confident.
I was. It's been a while since I've done push-ups. So.
Very confident.
Yeah. So I did 22. So that's fine, I guess. It's not good enough.
It's all right. I appreciate you trying.
Yeah,
I'm
not.
Tip my cap.
I'm not. I'm embarrassed.
Why? I think
because
it's more than the average bear.
I thought I could get more than that.
I think it's more than the average bear.
Yeah, probably.
How many could Brian do? Brian, your turn.
10.
Pearl Jam, what is this, White Boy Thursday? That's a great text. It's pretty cool that Branham's hair shared the same urinal as Gerard Johnson's urine at Humble High School. What a weird text that
was.
For that text, that's a creepy text. We don't condone creepy text. You, sir, out of here. You're gone. Get personal.
Out of here.
Yeah, you don't get personal. Weird text. That might be the weirdest text I've ever gotten.
Yeah, that's strange.
That's weirder than the text whenever my neighbor texts into the show from time to time.
Okay.
And he sent like a creepy text like the first time he texted into the show. I'm like, that's kind of creepy.
Or wasn't there a listener that commented on like the exact thing that was going outside your hotel room
rabbits.
The rabbits.
Yeah, the rabbits. That's what
the
it was.
The rabbits in Indy. That was kind of weird too. That was probably the creepiest.
Yes.
That was the creepiest. The neighbor one was like kind of red creepy, but I knew it wasn't that creepy. Like, I was cool with it. Space City Kev, he had you down for 27. Junkie says, I call BS. It wasn't on camera.
Junkie?
I'll post it later on my Twitter at Jeremy.
You liar.
Nah, I won't do it. I lost that one. Sorry for the creepy neighbor text, Eric. Good to see you, Eric. Eric, we lost power a little bit ago.
We weren't sure you were going to make it on time today because of that.
Yeah, Eric, I don't know if you're working today, but we lost power for about 30 minutes. Around, what was it, like a 1 o'clock hour, somewhere around there?
It was a little before 1, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was like right before 1 o'clock.
Okay, yeah. So it wasn't out long enough to do any damage, and you probably have a generator, which how we feel about the power this next few days here.
We'll see. I haven't gone grocery shopping yet. I'm going to do that tonight.
Oh, don't waste your time now.
Is it bad?
I've just seen the videos online of multiple HEBs and bread and water and ice are gone. I mean, now I'm not saying what your local HEB is, but some of them are getting hit pretty hard.
I feel like most of the videos...
Brian, I think you're being a fearmonger here.
I feel like most of the videos I've seen were coming from like Dallas.
You're reporting what you saw on videos on the internet from cities that are not Houston.
How do you know they're not Houston?
Because I've seen the same videos, and they're further up north and out west.
You know exactly what video I saw?
I have a pretty good idea, because my wife went to the grocery store today and came out with plenty of bread. Plenty of bread she came back with.
Yeah, I think it's also hard to tell, because I feel like people have reposted old videos at this time, from like when
Possible.
Things were bad.
Wait, so we'll how much bread did you guys buy, Jeremy?
Well, I didn't buy it. My wife bought it.
Okay.
She bought enough bread to get through the winter storm.
Well, how much is that?
She bought a thing of bagels, and I think she came back with like two different loaves of bread.
Okay, that's not bad. I was just hoping you weren't going to be one of the ones that was the reason for the shortage somewhere, because we all remember hurricanes where people walk out with 10 packs of toilet paper.
I think you're fear-mongering a bit. I don't think this is really going on in Houston.
I also because I feel like it's not like we're not going to get hit that bad, so I feel like the worst grocery shopping for people that like panic is going to happen Saturday.
Woodlands is out of a lot of things, especially propane. Okay, maybe Brian's right. Maybe Brian was right. Somebody said he went to Walmart Market, got plenty of bread. 713-780-ESPN. Let's go out to the HRMP listener line. We'll get to the free agents at the top of the hour. Chris, you're in with Jeremy and Joe. What's up, Chris?
Yeah, hey, guys. Enjoying the Texans talking. Just real quick, did the push-ups count if they're from his knees, Brandon?
They were not.
No, they were not, Chris. No, they did not.
I have two witnesses.
It wasn't on video, so I don't know.
Call him Brian and Colton the liar, though.
All right.
Colton.
Hey, two quick thoughts on the Texans. First of all, I think D'Amico's too much of a player's coach. I think he's too close to the situation like the CJ. I don't think Davis Mills could have done any worse in the second half than what CJ did. So that's one thought. And the other thought is, what is the biggest difference between year one and year three other than the NFL defenses having tape on CJ? I mean, we heard our great defensive end, Mr. Anderson, say, CJ, you're the best quarterback in the NFL. I mean, we're all living off of that year one, and we're all hoping for that year one, but we've had 2 years consecutive of poor play from CJ. So other than the tape, what is the biggest difference? Is it the O-line? Is it a system thing? Or can you guys help me out with this? Thanks. Bye.
Yeah, I mean, Jerry, I don't know how you feel, but for me, I think the thing that's outside of his control is I think the offensive line, while it's better this year than last year, I think we didn't give enough credit to that first year with Stroud. Yeah. And there's a lack of faith of what's happening in front of him, frankly. And that's what's leading to the happy feet, the inaccurate passes, all of that. So I think it starts there. With CJ, it's just probably mechanically, I would guess, is just not the same.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's all of it. I think it all weighs in. I think Stroud had a lot of confidence his rookie year. The O-line was probably better than we thought. It was probably a way better quarterback setting. Kind of caught the NFL by storm a little bit in the sense that, like, hey, this is how we're going to attack his weaknesses. You know, had Tank. He had Tank a second year, too, though. I think it's all of it. And then all of a sudden you start taking a bunch of hits. The NFL defenses figure out a little bit more, figure out your weaknesses a bit more. You start to get conditioned based on the hits that you've been taking. I think it all factors in. Now, look, I think Stroud was actually good, though, the last few games of the year. Like, Stroud right before the concussion, I think, was playing his best football. Post-concussion, I think it took a game, and then after that, he was playing some pretty good football. Like, he was playing the position well. So it's just weird, because I think that there was progression for Stroud this year specifically, not from year one. Like, if you just look at Stroud year three, early in the year, had struggles getting to know the offense, and then started to play well. You know, Baltimore, maybe that sprung him against a bad defense, but the San Francisco game played very well. I thought he was playing pretty good before he got concussed against Denver. I think it was only two series, but they were like scoring drive type of series. And then he gets concussed. He's out three games or whatever it was. Comes back, a little slow to come back, but then finished strong. I thought he finished strong, was playing well, throwing the ball away when he needed to, you know, like efficient offenses. Remember, they were scoring on a high level of their drives, and then you get to the postseason, and it was just gone. So yeah, it's bizarre.
And even like the Pittsburgh game, if he catches the ball, you know, every time it snapped to him outside the one Patterson snap or our Andrews snap, that was his one. Like, we look at that game totally differently if he just catches the football. Like, yeah, there's still an interception in there, right? Or was it two interceptions? Like, no, it's just one. But like, if the one interception, if it's just the Jake Andrews bad snap, like, we view that game totally differently for Stroud than the end up result. It's the two games combined, the amount of turnovers that's just impossible to look away from.
Yeah, it is. It's impossible. All right, 713-780-ESPN. Free agents, some of the bigger names: Kirk, Autry, Rankins, Foley. Are we putting Tommy Townsend in that conversation? Maybe. Which of these guys do you – Ed Ingram? Which of these guys do you want back? Which of these guys are you okay just seeing them leave? 713-780-3776, Jeremy and Joe, ESPN 97.5 and 97.9 HD2. I'm sad to see football leave here in a few more games. We got the two conference titles this week, got the big game coming up in a few weeks. And Underdog's the best place to get in on all the action. So much fun playing on Underdog. Football playoffs are here. A few more games, and Underdog, the best place to get in on the action. You can make picks, win money right now in Texas, get all these picks right. You're going up to 5,000 times your cash. Doesn't that sound nice? And plus, you get $75 in bonus entries when you play your first $5 if you use promo code KILLERB. So, like, $5, $75 free, $80. 5,000 times your cash, I think you got a 33.33% chance to make a lot of money. Actually, better chances than that. But we're looking at the AFC championship game this week, looking at some receivers today. Today's receiver day. Stephon Diggs, former Texan, for a few games. 45.5 receiving yards for Stephon Diggs. Higher or lower against this good Denver defense? 4.5 receptions, the number there. Cortland Sutton, the SMU kid. 51.5 receiving yards for Sutton. Do you like the higher or lower there? The 4.5 receptions also on Sutton, of course, playing with a new quarterback. I have faith in you. I have confidence in you that you know ball and you can get your picks right. So what are you waiting for? Download the Underdog app right now. Use promo code KILLERB, K-I-L-L-E-R-B, to score $75 in bonus entries when you play your first $5. Promo code KILLERB, Underdog. Make picks, win money.
Must be 18 or older and present in Texas. Terms apply. See assets.underdogfantasy.com/web/play and get terms underscore DFS underscore .html for details. Concerned with your play, call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit ncpgambling.org.
ESPN 97.5.